change in the number of homeless people on the streets in the last few weeks or not?
Well, definitely.
And what do you attribute this to?
Well, lots of jobs, people getting laid off, cost of living going up where they can't afford houses or rent anymore. You know, like 30 years ago, you can get a nice house for $80 a month. Now it's about $1,600. So you can see there's a big difference in prices and rent. You know, and no one can afford to rent anymore.
How long have you, would you call yourself homeless?
Definitely.
And how long have you been homeless?
4 years.
All the time in Santa Cruz?
Yeah. Yes.
And you used the satellite shelter program during the winter, the armory?
Well, I did at first, but now I got a place where no one bothers me. And
so we're talking about the place outside?
Yeah.
And that's in the city limits or outside the city limits?
Just inside the city limits.
And the police just don't know where it is? Or,
yeah.
So it's kind of a secret spot.
Right.
Well, we won't question you any further on this. Anything you want to say to our Free Radio Santa Cruz audience?
Well, just keep your fingers crossed and hope for the best. Yeah, that's all I can say.
Well, thank you very much. Well, we've been out here at... Does anybody know what time it is?
Oh, yeah, 7:33.
7:33, thank you. A man without a watch is a dangerous thing out here on the streets. We have Chris Brazda and young Robert here are
grouping
it up.
I'm going to go down there
more. Helping me. Around 11:30 on March 24th, Sunday, 11:30 in the morning. And I'm talking to Token Tim Rinker. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
Making a sign, how do you sleep, I see here. You already made a sign here, food, water, and sleep. You got a ticket last night. What was that all about?
Oh, they came by, and I had my bedding out, ready to go to sleep, and they gave me a ticket.
About what time was that?
I don't know. I'd have to check the ticket, actually.
You better check the ticket.
It was after midnight. I know that.
And you say there were four officers who were involved in this particular shakedown?
Yeah, and I once again failed to get their names. But,
searching his tattered wallet for the ticket now. Did Dan give you one of the forms to fill out? The ticket forms? Cool. And I'd like to see the heavy organization happening here at the vigil. We have a vast array of bicycles. Some folks are arriving here. A woman chewing gum in a Jeep has just pulled up across the street, probably some kind of provocative move designed to rouse you to a fever pitch. Let me take a look at that ticket here.
It says 1:51 p.m. That's strange.
This is citation 96SC71936, Timothy James Rinker. 6.36.010A for camping in front of City Hall, although you say that you weren't sleeping when...
That's right.
A is, of course, sleeping. Hey, Gina!
That's right. That's right. They're going to have to answer to this one in court.
So you're going to go in there and say you may have had the intention to sleep, but you sure as heck weren't snoozing when they
came.
Yes,
and in fact, I did not sleep out here. I went right across the street. And
you did. Confessing your guilt here. This is Officer 143, 151, who knows who that is. S-A-S-T-S-P. Can't tell who that officer was.
143.
Well, thank you, Tim, and we'll put that on the latest hoo-ha boo-ha. It's March 24th, around 4 o'clock. Just got out of the Drug War Symposium, which is... And a good symposium it was, but not terribly relevant at the moment, although I had hoped to give a presentation about the drug war and the homeless, which would have been brief. It would have talked mainly about the fact that homeless people are on the front lines of the drug war. They are the people with the least protection against illegal search and seizure. They are the people whose backpacks get ripped off and searched and ruffled through and taken by police and used as evidence without a second thought. Indeed, this isn't happening in bad old Santa Cruz from 1980 and 81 when Code Blue cops were beating homeless people. It's happening in good new Santa Cruz in 1996 when Officer Robocop Perry and Officer Over of the forthcoming hit tune Don't Fuck Me Over, which I will of course be playing for you as soon as I've recorded it to get up there on the charts with the infamous Maybe Habee song, which you'll be perhaps able to hear later.
we're having those kinds of seizures of property and complete insecurity if you're on the streets in terms of your personal possessions. If you have a deadhead style or you're a hippie-looking person and you're hanging out in the area the police have targeted, such as Cathcart and Pacific or Ford's parking lot. So the drug war really sweeps in the poor first. Just like everything else, the poor get the shaft first. They're the people who feel the police presence, the police oppression, the police, and when it happens, brutality. It's also, of course, illegal for adult people who are outside to drink a beer, even if they're not drunk. It's illegal because that's an open container. You have to go and pay more, either pay for some private space or go into a restaurant or bar and drink a beer there. Down in Santa Barbara, this, is, of course, is an attack on a whole subculture because Hispanic subculture involves some, you know, drinking, some mild drinking. If we're not talking about drunkenness, we're talking about like normal get-togethers in parks where people drink beer and so forth. That's illegal under the open container laws here in Santa Cruz. It was the basis for the macing, or I should say the pepper gassing, of D-Bob by host John Behrens, that open container law which these hosts are mindlessly supporting. Another consequence of the drug war with respect to the homeless people is hemp or marijuana or cannabis is a very low cost, or could be, I should say, a very low cost remedy for a number of ailments. Alleviates a lot of problems ranging from glaucoma to migraine headaches to nausea and pain associated with AIDS and other cancers. And it's something that people who don't have a lot of money need to have access to. Well, they're the first ones who suffer when these things are made criminal. And I'm glad we have a compassionate use group here in Santa Cruz that is allowing people to use marijuana on their premises. However, what we need, of course, is a change in the drug war that allows poor people to use marijuana when they need it, either as a recreational drug or as an herbal medication. The drug war, it affects the poor first. It affects the homeless first. And it's also, of course, the pretext for different things. So, for example, Scott Kennedy and Mike Rotkin are trashing campgrounds, and even Barbara Riverwoman has had some negative things to say about campgrounds because of, quote, drug abuse. I'm not a great proponent of drug abuse, but the right of people to use a drug of their choice is, in my opinion, just one of those things. You can do with your body what you want, provided you're not out there assaulting other people. I mean, this is a basic issue. Some people agree with it, some people don't. I think most people do agree with it. There's been a lot of scare stuff around drugs, and of course the two most toxic drugs, alcohol and tobacco, are government supported and subsidized. And of course they kill hundreds of times or thousands of times the number of people per year that suffer any kind of fatalities because of even heroin or cocaine or PCP or whatever you will, the other spooky drugs that are the subject of the tabloids like the Santa Cruz Urinal or Sentinel, as they call themselves, or Resentinel, or Sent Anal, as some have more aptly termed our county newspaper. So the drug war is a war against all of us, and it's particularly a war against the poor. And I'm sorry that that point wasn't made during the time I was at the forum. I didn't have much time to be there, and the schedule was filled with speakers. Everybody had something to say, and something worth saying and worth listening to. But I couldn't get in edgewise, and I hadn't prepared a flyer, but perhaps in the future I will, because I think that we really should go into the very specific details of how the war on drugs impacts the poor people in our community. You can impact by giving me a call, 427-3772, 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. The lines are open, and you're listening to Bathrobes Pierre Robert on Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides, or if that name is too long for you, just plain old Broadsides. Every Monday and Friday from 10 to 12, the show comes piping your way on 96.3 FM. We try to have an open phone line, and now that I've learned how to use the phone, hopefully we'll be able to do the same. You can always be on the show if you come to Taco Bell at 9:45 on the morning of the show. Or if you want, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Lots of things are happening in the next few days. There's, of course, a Tabling happening tonight on the Mall, right across from the Cinema 9 Theater, in support of the Sleep Out at City Hall. There's day 25 of the Sleep Out at City Hall, where even though one man has been held in jail for, what, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, 3.5 days now, essentially on nothing, a charge that was dropped, criminal sleeping, the beat goes on, and the people continue to come to City Hall. New people come, but we need more new people. We need you to come down and just spend a little time. We're trying to make a big poster with a thermometer on it that shows the increasing number of police busts, increasing number of arrests, increasing costs, and every day, you know, day 25, 43 arrests, day 26, 47 arrests, and so forth. We need some people to do that, some people who are good at graphics. We need people to do a table on the Mall to do outreach in order to get people the funding to continue this.
Hi, you're in Free Radio's Santa Cruz.
Are we getting some feedback?
No, we're okay now. How you doing, Chris?
Chris, yeah, I was reading the placards at the Loudon Nelson drug event yesterday. Mm-hmm. They're horror stories. Donald Scott, owner of 250 acres in Ventura, mm-hmm. adjacent to Park, merely on suspicion, you know, after these overflights and infrared invasions of privacy that they use, shot dead October 2nd, 92. Sharky.
Right, well, numbers of homeless people face similar kinds of horror stories, both from, you know, being arrested with illegal drugs and also from being forced to take medications that they don't want to take around the psychiatric system, and you're familiar with that.
A lot of the people who are taking marijuana are for epilepsy, for instance, mm-hmm. or for asthma, mm-hmm. and then they're, or for sickle cell anemia. The woman in there, Sister Samya Kumwi, in her 25 years for possession of 6 plants. They had a display... people who get drug arrested face, on average, 60 months as compared to, say, 57 months for kidnapping, 51 months for robbery, 36 months for arson, manslaughter, only 12 months. So the drug war, all these people are prisoners of war who are getting excessive sentences, 25 years, the three-strike law, 70-80% of the sentences are for nonviolent third offenses, like stealing a pizza or smoking a joint or selling 2 ounces. I don't think we can afford the $40,000 on your average to capture and put these people in jail. $40,000 a year is about what I estimate. The estimate for the jail is $10 million, mm-hmm. and the other $10 million is to catch those people, and half of them are in there for drugs. The police and the dealers go after the same person. They go after the victim, who's the addict, who should be treated medically. So this should be a sea change in society, that we stop treating addicts like criminals.
Yeah, that would be nice. I know that we have a case of Miguel Balderas, who was who used a earthquake damaged building to avoid arrest under the sleeping ban in the early 90s, and when he went back to get his blanket because he had a flashlight, he was convicted of a felony burglary for entering the house. And then there was a second strike that was gotten against him for being around some place where methamphetamine was being used or something, although I'm not sure if it was proved it was his. And he just got out of prison after serving many months on a second strike due to this drug stuff. And now he's going to, he was told he could not be homeless and be on parole. So he only had one option.
Of course, you can't obey all laws if you're homeless. It's a law against sleep. So you can't take probation with a straight face if you're homeless and say, I agree to obey all laws.
That's a good point.
It's impossible. So.
But apparently what happened the other day was the River Street Mini Shelter, because he had growled at one of the staff members when they told him he had to go to bed like a nice boy at 9 or 10 when he was working on his papers. The next day, 4 cops showed up, and he had not even been told, according to his story, that he was being dismissed from the place, and he was just dumped outside. With these 4 cops, just told him he had to leave, and he then had to explain all this to his parole officer. I heard him trying to explain to his parole officer the next day how he had no place because he was being evicted from the River Street, and it's just it's an endless merry-go-round. Some of it, as I said, comes from the drug war. Some of it comes from the laws against homelessness. All of it impacts poor people more disproportionately than any other class of people.
We have to try to spend money responsibly in addressing social problems. It's not responsible to spend 60% of your law enforcement budget dropping little bags of coke in the beach flats and then sending them through an extremely expensive punishment process.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add about the sleep out?
The release of Sean. Did you get that from the DA's office that they're not going to charge him?
That's what I was told by Attorney Kate Wells, who contacted the DA's office. Yeah, but he's still in jail, as you may have heard. He called us from jail a few minutes ago, and they haven't released him yet. They're kind of slow in those things, but it looks like it's another one of these. Arrest him on a misdemeanor, and then it evaporates. But you've lost 4 days of your life in jail. You're familiar with that, Chris. You were jailed for months.
Six weeks on some false counts that I've spoken to the Board of Supervisors already, accusing the district attorney out of personal animus, suborned witnesses if they didn't perjure themselves, mm-hmm. and that complicates the case in my custody matter. The same people who brought those false counts are the captors of the woman who had a child by me, and they refused all communication or dialogue. Meanwhile, threatened me either with false arrest for trespass, which they did on their first arrest,
Well, you've been involved in the homeless rights struggle for at least since I've known you since 1991, when you showed up at the town clock. Vigil for Peace against the Iraqi Bush's genocide in Iraq.
What was that, August 90 to about February, March 91?
No, something like that, a little bit later, actually. I think
when
it was,
they finally put that sign up, no camping, you can't be here between 1 a.m.
They put a curfew on the Constitution.
All
the
signs
clock.
Up and down Highway 1 have to be cut down, all those no parking signs. This man from Sweden, from Poland, who had been to Sweden, and people were encouraged to use the natural resources. You know, the only way we're going to save some of these natural resources is if people go out in them and use them in a low-impact way that they can, by parking their van, parking their car, going down on the beach at night, in the day, or any time they want, without having to deal with a potential $162 ticket just because they're parked next to a freaking sign.
Well, I've heard some story that theoretically the water line between the high water tide and the low water tide is sort of some kind of safe zone. That if you get there, you can't be arrested by the state police or the county police, the city police, at least not on camping charges. But I guess I have yet to hear more confirming information on that one.
Some kind of DMZ. All those signs up one are an eyesore. They should be. Removed.
Now, as I was saying, you've been doing this kind of work, you've been an observer and a writer on the scene since 1990 or thereabouts. Have you seen any changes in the homeless scene since then?
Well, the area is getting more dense, right? We have Carolyn Busenhart, who's an exotic dancer, literally went to bed with the developers. It's easy to go to bat for the developers. The area is growing. The Costco that was put in, about 5 acres. Created enormous traffic jam, probably had something to do with the fact that people there didn't want to see 175 people on 0.7 acres. The area is going to grow. The natural area, like the Pogo Nip and the Arena Gulch, and they've got a 2,500-person amphitheater planned up at Quail Hollow. Now, if they can build an environmental instructive center, if they can build a 2,500 amphitheater up there that can't be used even at night, because the lights will affect the sex lives of some beetle, then they can build a 200 capacity shelter bed and/or campground. I'd say 200 for a county of 220,000. That's about right. It's less than 0.1% of the population.
Yeah, and of course, nationally, the homeless population is estimated often at 1-3%.
Yeah, it's at least 1%. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Chris. Are you any projects you're working on that you want to let us in on? Any writing you're thinking of doing? Or?
Well, continue the tabling. I'll be tied up in court in early April. Here you have an April 2nd court date.
Oh yeah, may go to jail on April 2nd for a couple months.
I hope you can talk to the district attorney up there, Hallinan, to get that struck.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Is it true you're the only one who was charged with that? Or
I was the only one who was actually tried for that.
Went to trial.
Yeah. Although there are two people down here who went to trial. Actually, there were three. One was acquitted, and two were convicted, not on the same thing, which was the injunction. The The mayor at that time in San Francisco secured a politically motivated injunction against Food Not Bombs, right, because he didn't like them supporting
the injunction
homeless.
Is technically in place, they just don't action it.
The injunction is
there should be a motion to dismiss it, right?
It has been affirmed three times, both first as a preliminary or a temporary restraining order, then as a preliminary injunction, and finally in 1994 as a permanent injunction. So it's still in place, but my understanding is they haven't arrested anyone under it, although they did arrest Food Not Bombs last Monday at Mission and 16th, and I'm not quite sure what the charges were at that point, but they were threatening to come back today, and there may be more arrests today, and I'll have more information for you on my next show on that, I hope.
Okay, if any attorneys out there should attack formally, of course, the camping ban and the injunction against Food Not Bombs locally, if not in San Francisco also.
Yeah, I tend to think, you know, we're having some problems getting attorneys to do this. First of all, there was the Tobe decision, which essentially upheld a camping law in Santa Ana on its face, but it didn't. The judges did indicate that if it were being unfairly applied to poor people, as in fact all camping laws are, it would be another matter, and they claimed that no such claim had been made, when in fact both the prosecution and the defense in the Santa Ana Tobe case specifically agreed that was the issue, that the law not as written but as applied. So this, the California Supreme Court again did a smoke and mirrors number that ignored the issues that even both prosecution and defense agreed on, and the Department of Justice itself, the U.S. Department of Justice, came in with a brief in favor of the Tobe defendants. The people who wanted the camping law overturned in favor of the campers, saying the right to travel in this is compromised by making it illegal to sleep. You can't travel if you can't sleep. And so people who are poor suffer because they cannot have a legal place to sleep if they fall asleep at night. It's kind of a tortured argument, but I guess you take whatever arguments you can.
Everybody's addicted to sleep, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, we've been trying to train people to avoid sleeping, but so far the seminars
are... It's impossible unless you wish to become psychotic, stay up 3 to 5 nights, and that's the most
city council
form of torture, non-invasive torture, is to subject people to sleep deprivation.
Well, we're thinking of finding some kind of cure for the sleep deprivation problem tomorrow at city council, when I'm encouraging people to bring their backpacks and their bedrolls and their teddy bears. And
right, and also 9 a.m. on the day of the election, the Board of Supervisors, 9 a.m. oral communication. You get 3, maybe 5 minutes with them, at least 3 minutes.
You can go to that at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Yeah.
Almost nobody attends that.
Right. Well, the Board of Supervisors actually doesn't have the oppressive camping ban that the city has, and it's true that they should be doing more in terms of setting up a campground and instructing their deputies not to harass people and not to misinform them about their rights to sleep.
Well, it's just a city ordinance, so outside the city limits, there's In the county, there's supposed to be areas where you can sleep. I don't know if Washington...
Well, no, it's generally true that in the county it is legal to sleep, with the exception of 4 very small areas that have been declared no camping zones. And most of the county is wide open for sleeping, in theory, but the deputies, will, if they see you, will harass you and tell you, no, you have to go to a campground, which is false. It's not true. It's a violation of the law. It's a violation of the realities of what the legal thing says about the legal... laws passed in 1985 by Gary Patton. It's actually legal to sleep in your car. There's a roadside resting exception in the county, but the deputies are have been routinely lying about that issue, and it's just really disgraceful. But
obeying that and obeying the municipal instead of the county code regards to the sleeping in cars.
Well, they've been saying that the county law states you can only sleep in a campground. They don't actually refer to the city law, but the city law, of course, is much worse. The city law says anybody who falls asleep almost anywhere, with the exception of a fenced-in side yard, backyard, or if you're in a vehicle in a church property under the ISSP program, the Interfaith Satellite Shelter program, then you are guilty of an infraction. Do it twice in 48 hours, and you'll end up like Sean in jail.
They've only got 56 beds right now.
Yeah, and the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, which has no appeal process if you get kicked out. A woman named...
For 6 months of the year, it's a $500,000 program, and they've only got 48 beds.
Right, and
a
woman named Gina, who was kicked out of that program in October, who I keep mentioning on this show, attempting to appeal the decision of Paul Marceau, who's the head of the program and the man who closed the only open-air shelter in Santa Cruz, and the only legal place to sleep in Santa Cruz, and actually the only campground of its kind in the country last year. He has refused to allow any kind of appeal process. He's stonewalled that whole issue.
And the meeting's Thursday, Garfield Park Church, was at 111 Arid Circle, 4 p.m. Citizens Committee for the Homeless, their monthly board meeting?
Their monthly board meeting is at the Garfield Park Church at Arid Circle at 4 o'clock on Thursday.
We should get a flyer out to the ISSP people and the homeless people using the free meal to see if anybody, to get an exception to get anybody in those programs who want to attend the meeting, because those meetings are not well attended, and of course that's where some of the major decisions are made, and where you can get any the public paper that they put out. I was able to get paper. I haven't been to a meeting for 3 or 4 months after the intimidation you received for a 45-second piece of tape you wanted to play him.
Right, I remember that.
Yep.
Still the case. Well, anything you want to add, Chris, before I put on some music?
Not at all. How late are you going today?
You know, I'm feeling kind of tired, so I'm probably going to kind of wind it down quickly, but who knows, maybe I'll stay a little bit longer, depending on who calls in.
Okay, I'll see you later at pamphleting in front of the theater.
It's possible. Although
I think that was successful. About 85% of the people were receptive to, and this county should take its fair share of the burden or pleasure of committing this compassion for people without means.
Yeah,
take on 200 slots at least, and then other cities will take up the slack, and we'll stop this nonsense of running people rampant, running them around. I don't think it's even cost-effective from a law enforcement point of view.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't know if I'll be down there. I may be too sick to come to that particular tabling, but I hope it will go on anyway, and we'll see, and I'll certainly try to be in shape for the demonstration tomorrow, which is going to be a long affair, and I invite people to come.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
bye.
Chris.
Well, let's take a musical break with the ever-popular Daryl Churney, who churns out some more tunes that nobody ever heard of, but they're still pretty good, from his album, I Have to Be Born This Century.
Josie Barnhouse Bridge with Piercy lives by the river's edge. She got a great big dog and a little bitty car, and she's trimmed up many a hedge. She eats tofu and granola too, and other vegetarian foods. No, she don't eat meat, it affects her beat, and it puts her in an awful mood. Her dog's named Mike, he got a big old bite, and he sees that she's safe and sound. He's a Doberman pincer, he's a real meat mincer, you might say he's a fearsome hound. She's in love with Don, but he ain't turned on to a long-lasting love affair. But Josie Barnhouse Bridge would pierce. He loves to see him when he's there. She got trouble with Mort, but I'll keep it short, because it is such a sorrowful sight. He's her boss, and he's cross because he lost, but he's still got to see her each night. Now, she told him about Don, but he couldn't hang on. He was too busy getting mad about the money he spent, about paying her rent, and he felt like he'd been had. So on a starry night, when it wasn't too bright, old Mort came to make his stand. He had love in his heart, that look in his eye, and a 45 in his hand. Well, he crept round the bend, and he crept round a hedge, and he crept to her window sill. But as he peered in her house, a set of eyes peered out, and old Mort felt an awful chill. Now Josie Barnhouse Bridgewood Piercy never knew what went down until the very next morning, when she found Mort's pants in the mouth of her Doberman hound. Now the story goes on, but it's way too long to tell in such a short time. But Josie Barnhouse Bridgewood Piercy, she's still a-doing just fine.
She was only 13, she was only a child. Living on a mountain in California's wilds. Her moon was in Cancer and Libra her sun. She liked to stay at home, but then she dreamed that she could run. And sunshine sits by the warmth of a storm, keeping safe from the night's misty cold. But when the sun comes up, she's out there on the run. That's how it is for sunshine on the mountain.
Thank you.
but she don't hear the call. She'd rather stay right here than learn nothing at all. She dreams of the summer when she can be free. To make her mind up as to who she's gonna be. And sunshine sits by the warmth of a stove, keeping safe from the night's misty cold. But when the sun comes up, she's out there on the run. That's how it is for sunshine on the mountain. God made us all young, but sometimes we forget. Seems like the less we know, the older we get. Sunshine, she knows plenty about life as much as me. But will she lose it all or keep her memories? And sunshine sits by the warmth of a stove, keeping safe from the night's misty cold. But when the sun comes up, she's out there on the run. That's how it is for sunshine on the mountain. And sunshine sits by the warmth of a stove, keeping safe from the night's misty cold.
Now the Bureau of Land Management is part of the U.S. And they manage our soil much better than anyone can, I guess. Now they know about the forests and the mountains high above. And they know what each damn tree is worth, because trees are what they love. Now they lease our land for cattle, because they love the wildlife so. And keeping all the trees cut down helps the grass population grow. But our land is reaping fortunes, so the U.S. can survive. Each acre stomped by cattle earns $1.35. Hey, BLM, you ain't the friend of the eagle and the bear. But the corporations love you when they get the lion's share. Would it be you're jealous of the world you're tearing down? Cause if you was one tenth of an eagle, you'd be...
Are you talking to a central resident? What's your first name?
Cynthia.
Cynthia, you kind of looked out from the central apartment and saw this group of people shouting about sleeping.
Yeah, well, I understand a lot of it, because even today we were just wanting to sleep and rest and kick back and barely had enough energy to even get up, you know, to get out here in the ground. So I can imagine people's need for sleep and rest and keeping up with what's going on. It's taking a lot more perseverance and energy.
You live across from Friendship Corner, this corner where people hang out. What's your feeling about it? Is it a problem for you at night? Do people make too much noise? Do you like the culture here? Are you neutral? What's your sense?
Well, I like it. Sometimes musicians can get a little out of hand or a little wiry in the end of the night, but in general, I don't mind the sets at all because they're real nice and I like them. And we don't close windows. Just, I turn the radio, we've got the fans right down here.
What about your neighbors? How do they feel?
Well, I visit and I hang out with some up there quite a bit. He's an ex-husband, but we're still very close. We spend a lot of time together. But I feel that if they would have wanted anything else, they shouldn't have put it in downtown Santa Cruz.
Now you're talking.
Thank you very much.
I felt that was very stupid for them to be provoking this crap onto others on the street after they put a big senior spot right down the most action-packed spot of Santa Cruz. I felt that was the dorkiest shit I'd ever seen and heard of. Because if they wanted a quiet senior spot, why didn't they put it out on the side of town? Not straight downtown in the noisiest corner.
I have no answer for you.
And the spot up Pacific Avenue. That was kind of stupid in itself.
Thank you very much.
Come on and join us. We're going down the street. The right to sleep in Santa Cruz should not be denied. Hey, Dan. Don't lose fast, you'll lose us all. First stop is the host center across the street.
Okay.
All right.
Be courteous to the pedestrians coming down the street.
All right. Ready. All right. A law against sleep is an unjust law. Join us. A law against sleep is an unjust law.
Right down the street from there.
All right, we're going to cross over here, folks.
How about the crosswalk?
We can use the crosswalk, but ordinary people jaywalk.
No, it's not jaywalking if there's no stoplight.
Right, let's cross over, folks.
Only jaywalk.
And the sleeping band.
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 The law against sleep is an unjust law.
In the sleeping band.
I wonder if they could tell me where I can sleep.
Might go in here and ask these people.
Excuse me.
All right. So don't you all, you should ask these folks where you can sleep. Maybe they have some information for you about where it's legal for people to sleep. Let's find out.
Let's find out here.
Maybe there's some information. Maybe these officers can help us. Maybe this is a nice place to sleep. We could make this sort of an emergency shelter. I think this is an appropriate place. Sort of a downtown informant center. It's about 10 after 3. Come on in, everybody. This is the downtown informant center. Yes, folks? This is the place where people hired by the merchants come out of to harass homeless people. Downtown hosts who are here. These are the people who tell you you can't walk your dogs on the mall.
They're the street prison dogs.
Right. Cats are legal. Dogs are not. So I think it might be appropriate to maybe have a lie down. I think a little lying down here. I mean, you know, I think maybe right here.
Yeah,
nice.
I'm
let's
really,
test out this
I'm
sidewalk.
Yeah. I need
let's see how the sidewalk
here.
Feels.
I need some sleep.
Let's see if we can get a little rest here. Oh boy, this feels so much better. Oh, all right. Oh, let's lie down. Oh, this is great.
Finally got some sleep.
I'd like to thank all you criminals. There's a criminal. He's lying down. Look at these people are lying down. What's going on here? This is criminal behavior.
Well, they kept us awake all night, man. I'm tired now.
Stop them before they lie down again.
There's been 17 tickets given at the city hall in 16 days for sleeping plus other charges. And even a charge of theft for somebody retrieving our own signs
out of a dumpster that was taken by a police officer. And I was charged with resisting arrest when I got up and let the officer handcuff myself. And I was totally courteous with him. And it was all on film. And they still got me for resisting arrest. And I talked the way all the way through it.
The laws in Santa Cruz. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, I'm done. No, that's it.
The laws in Santa Cruz make it illegal for people to sit 10 feet from a shop, to sleep after 10 to 11, after 11 o'clock at night, or to lie down any time on the sidewalk downtown. So if these police officers were doing their job, they would be out here arresting you right now. But they won't do it while you're in a demonstration. They'll do it when you're alone.
That's right.
When you're defenseless. When no one else is around.
That's right.
These people, the people in green, will come by and tell you to move. And if you don't move, they'll call a cop. And the cop will make you move. Why? Because the businesses downtown think you look ugly. They don't want you here. They want you out of town. That's the point. Get out of town. If you're homeless, if you're young, if you got a hairdo that they don't like, they want you away from here. You are a menace to their profits. Friendship Corner, which is what I call Hippie Corner, Friendship Corner is going to be no more pretty soon because they're going to put up a building there.
Yeah.
And they have a law that says, sit down 10 feet from a building or a shop, go to jail. That's a law passed by the liberal Santa Cruz City Council, headed by Mayor Rotkin and by Scott Kennedy. So what we're doing here is we're trying to bring the message home to the merchants that the laws have to change.
Right on.
And when we do it together, they will start to listen.
I'm tired. I'm going to sleep.
Dan's going to sleep. You know, he does. He stays up all night. Because if he sleeps at City Hall, he gets a ticket. That's what happens. He sleeps at City Hall, he gets a ticket. So he stays awake all night at City Hall. Blankets are not illegal, but covering up with blankets is illegal at night after 11 o'clock. I think there's some cops in here. Maybe someone should make a citizen's arrest of some of these.
I think we need to get more strategic, too. I think that this is very powerful. This is very powerful what we're doing. We're taking a stand, and we're on the side of justice. How does it feel to be robots in America?
Become the street prison guard.
How does it feel to be robots, non-thinkers in America?
Now, there was a proposal that we occupy the host center and reclaim it as a homeless shelter. I hate shelters, but hey, you know, you got to have a place to go at night. There are no bathrooms around here. They're going to arrest you for taking a piss downtown, but they won't give you a place to do it. So I say, maybe this might make a good, who knows, a good toilet facility? Is that being too cruel? I don't know.
There's not any human being on the planet who, if they were sleeping and got grabbed by someone with a gun and put in a cage, that they would say, that's right. There's not one person who, if that happened to them, they would agree with you. So why can't we go out to every single person in this community and explain to them rationally, intelligently, about how everybody needs to sleep and about the reality of the sleeping ban? Because no one's really going to be able to disagree with us, because this is the earth and we are its children. We are the people of the earth, and we have a right to sleep on the beach or in the park or where we want to. And anybody who thinks that they have a right to take you and put you in a cage is contributing to fascism.
I think that with this group of people we have here, you've come down here today, you're with us, you're actually taking the chance of risking a ticket by sitting down and lying down. Actually, sitting down is okay as long as you're not 10 feet from a shop like I am. This is now an illegal offense, sitting down like this. The door is here.
You're a double lawbreaker.
I am a double lawbreaker. And the most irritating man in Santa Cruz, I'm told. Thank you. But what we need to do is we need to do this in an increasing series of demonstrations downtown. We need to plan demonstrations weekly or twice weekly or whenever discrimination hits. When this man, the man with the video camera, Joe Hawk, was harassed at the Java House, kicked out for trying to get a cup of coffee for a man outside, in 2 days we had a demonstration down there, did we not?
No, we did.
We did. And the Java House is still collecting money from hip hipsters and getting support from the Santa Cruz Metro. But some people know that homeless activists and other people are not welcome in the Java House.
Let's go to City Hall, have a party, sing, play some drums all day long.
And we're going to do that,
that's
Joe.
They took our rights away. Not
we're going to do that. Now, it's the merchants, Joe. It's the merchants who run downtown. The problem with City Hall, and we're going to get there, is that nobody sees us at City Hall. Nobody cares. It's off to the side. What?
Today,
today we are getting more publicity by people just walking by and
that's
seeing
right.
us
that's
than
right.
we would all week sitting at City Hall. I hate to say that because Dan has been losing sleep and getting sick and getting his stuff taken and arrested. He's getting weak at City Hall, yeah.
I thought I was going to die the other day. I had gone, first off, I went 54 hours because of police harassment and keeping us awake at night. I went 54 hours without sleep, and then I got an hour and a half sleep, and then I had to go to 80 hours with only 8 hours sleep, and I thought I was going to die the other day. I was walking down the street. I thought I was going to fall down, you know, and die or something. And making it to where we can't even walk around. And by the way, the sleeping ban is not only from 11 to 8:30 in the morning. It is 24 hours a day. There is another part of the ban that says you cannot sleep in the daytime. And the reason I can say that and know what I'm talking about is Sean right there got a ticket for sleeping in the daytime on his sleeping bag.
Not allowed to lie down.
That's true. There is a third section of the sleeping ban which makes it illegal to, quote, in camp. And the law is harder to enforce because they have to prove that you are intending to stay overnight. But that doesn't stop our Eager Beaver police force and Sergeant Friendly Andy Crane from issuing tickets to people for that purpose. Why? Because they want to crush the protest at City Hall. Now, I am urging people to join us at what I call Camp Quest demonstrations downtown. You'll hear about them. If you want to give a call to 423-HUFF, that's the number on the flyer. It's at the bottom of all these flyers. You can do that, and you can find out when the next demonstration is. There'll be a sort of a message on that line at 423-HUFF. Or you can come down to City Hall, even better, anytime, and talk to a demonstrator there. They're going to be there as long as they can hold out. And they need your support. An hour, come down for half an hour, come down for 10 minutes. Come down for 5 minutes and drop off some hot coffee. That's what they need every day and every night. We need it at the same time during the day to bring the issue down here to the mall. This is where the people are. This is where the merchants are. This is where the influence makers and the tourists are. And if they see... because the armory is closed, that is also going to have an impact on Mr. Mayor Mike Rotkin. I'd like to say something, too, is I want to tell you what the scene is like at City Hall during our protest in the middle of the night at 1:30 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, and whatever hours. Police are actually jumping over walls at the City Hall to try to catch us sleeping, like it's a drug bust. Policemen are going down the street with their lights off, zipping in there and seeing if we're asleep. Last night, two cop cars came up, all both at once real quick, and then they said, well, there's only three of you here because I told everybody to get out of there, and they said there's only three of you. They went and checked all the bushes to see if there was some homeless people sleeping under the bushes at City Hall, and then after they left, another officer came across over the wall and came across and checked to see if there's somebody sleeping there. It's like a drug bust for sleeping, man, you know? And we're just badgered and we're chased and we're in total fear all the time. We can't sleep at night even when we do go to sleep because we know and we have to be alert enough even while we're sleeping, and so we can't get the right kind of sleep when we do sleep.
Okay, well, we've got a crowd. You know? That's what we should go.
And this is such a ridiculous law. How the businessmen and the city council can have such influence over the police department is unbelievable to me. I asked the police officers quite a few times, how can you enforce this law? You enforcing this law is a crime. It's
That's a crime to enforce
this law. It's a human right and a need for somebody to go to sleep at night. And they just say, we're here to follow, we swore to uphold these laws and things. And I told them, I said, at some time in your life, you have to draw the line and go by your heart and what your God wants you, what your spirit wants. You know, you have to go by that. You can't go by what society says all the time, you know. And they just ignored me and walked off, you know. These people don't go by their hearts, you know. They don't go by the humanity or anything. It's like I don't know what it's like. And this, to me, this looks like Germany starting all over again.
Sean wants to say something, but I also want to remind you, there is a payphone at City Hall. You can reach these people by calling them on the payphone. And that payphone number, get out your pencils, folks, or try to remember this number, or you look for a flyer with a number on it. The number is 425-9679. 425-9679. So when they're down there sleeping, when they're down there, you can call them up. Some of them won't be sleeping, and you can talk to them. Sean.
You can bring coffee, you can bring some happiness, some drugs, whatever. Down there, there's not any homes within the community vicinity. So they can come down and party and stay up all night because there's not a lot of schedule. So, remember, we all agree on what's going on. That's why we're here. Let's get out there, let's disperse, let's put out the word to the other people. Let them know what's going on. Ask them. Do you want your parents, your grandparents, your kids
your future grandson to be out there in the wilderness, without a home, without a shelter, without a place to be. That's what you bring out. That's what you ask.
Right. So what we need is a site. What we need is a site. We're not homeless. We're landless. We've been kicked off the land for centuries. We need a site. When someone suggested the San Lorenzo Park bench lands, they said they needed it for summer fairs and dog shows. I think we should all think of a good site, and I think that would be a good one.
Grizzly Flats.
Yeah, Grizzly
Flats. I'd like to thank
so everybody be thinking it's a good
don't
place
close
for
it off.
Open air shelter.
No. Thank you for something. All right.
There's a lot of people right here. There's a lot of people I see out here that I want to thank for all the support that you guys are giving us, because a lot of you right here have brought us these great big things of coffee, these big cups of coffee. You brought us food and fruits and moral support and stayed with us all night sometimes, you know. I'd like to thank all of you for helping us, like this young lady right here. She stayed with us last night. She gave us tremendous support, you know, when the cops came down there and everything. And that's what we need, because we get a little weak because of lack of sleep and the harassment we're getting. We get a little weak inside. So when you people come and support us and say hi to us, we gain more courage and more strength to keep going on. And so right now it's the 16th day of our protest, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I guess it's an ongoing thing. Nobody's done anything yet, but we're getting somewhere.
The next stop I'm suggesting we do, and as we're heading towards City Hall, we're going there, is the people that run this downtown informant center, the hosts. The people that run the hosts are merchants, and to some extent city money, your taxpayer dollars, goes into paying these little wannabe cops who run around telling you, if you're poor, get your dog off the mall. If you're rich, how do you do, ma'am?
Oh, yeah.
That's the story.
Oh, yeah.
These are the people who tell you, if you're poor, you can't drink alcohol, even if you're not drunk.
That's right.
You can't drink alcohol. You're not an adult.
Yeah.
Go hide somewhere and do that. They tell you you face a ticket if you do that, and then they call the cops on you. These are the people who tell you.
The hosts answer to the next place we're going.
People are autonomous wannabe cops.
Yeah.
They are hired by a group called the Downtown Management Corporation, which is in the next block. And that's the next place I suggest we go and briefly stop, because at that point, you will have the great honor of being able to sing the song, Maybe Haby, our new anthem. So let's go to the Downtown Management Corporation.
Yeah,
let's touch
the whole
thing. All right. Let's go. Let's go. Downtown Management Corporation. All right.
Robert.
Yes.
I worked at Santa Cruz Title for...
A law against sleep is an unjust law.
I worked at Santa Cruz Title Company for a week. A guy came up on a Harley. He had earring in his ear, he had a nose ring on, long hair, the jeans, everything. But because he had money and a piece of property, they treated him like a king. Get a cigarette, then call the cops.
Let's talk about it more. Musicians are also harassed on the mall. They get disturbing the peace tickets. Some people don't like their lyrics, so they get told to leave the mall. And the sleeping band, and the sleeping band, and the sleeping band, and...
What happened?
Come on, tell us.
Come closer. What happened? What's your name?
My name is Tracy.
Right.
I'm visiting a friend in Santa Cruz.
Right.
And he sleeps out of his van. He just travels around. He's an artist. And it's my first time here. And we just had our vans parked behind each other. And this morning at 6 o'clock, we got a knock on the window by a cop. And he was really, evidently someone in the neighborhood had called and complained about us. And we were sleeping. We weren't even doing anything. We went to bed. We were really quiet. They just saw the cars and didn't like it. And the police were saying things that The big reason is because people don't want people out there urinating and defecating on their front lawns or throwing garbage.
And they don't want to open up toilets.
No. That's, he said, well, where's the closest bathroom? And I said, inside. And you could use a jar or something like that, or go to McDonald's. That's the first thing I thought. But he says, no, you're gonna use this guy's lawn. $500,000 house. I'm like, what? Sure. I'm not even sure. No, it was inside of Santa Cruz.
It's good for the
water. It was right by the beach.
Then what happened?
He said, you have to get up right now and leave, or I'm going to cite you. When people can't complain, usually we need to cite people. But since you guys, if I'm going to drive around the block, and if you're gone by the time we come back, everything's cool. They drove around the block so fast, by the time we were up, he just waited for us to leave. So we just got in our cars and drove, you know.
Do you feel welcome to Santa Cruz?
My first time. I was really depressed because I thought that Santa Cruz was going to be different for some reason. So
that's what Mayor Mike Rodkin says. We have the friendliest town, the best social services.
Mayor's office.
Yeah.
We'll be there. We'll be there real soon.
I guess it's not that welcoming.
Tonight, you're not going to have a crowd of people.
Yeah.
We got people coming past. We'll be there soon, Joe. This is the Downtown Management Corporation, folks. This is the people who run the hosts. These are the people who will bust you for sleeping if they catch you sleeping on the mall or in the downtown area. These are the people to whom you should address your complaints. Downtown Association, that's the power. That's the power behind the laws that make it illegal for a whole class of people to sleep at night. That's the power. The sleeping ban has to go. The sleeping ban has to go, but these are the people that keep it there. The Downtown Association and the Downtown Management Corporation.
And the cops, and the mayor. It's up to the mayor to break this bullshit. Not these guys here. Because they have nothing to do with
the mayor. I disagree.
It's the mayor.
So I think we should be clear about what it's going
to
do
to City Hall.
They're all bullshit.
No. Everybody has a part to play in this situation, but it's important we identify the players, because then we know who to file our complaints with, because then we know who to go to when we are abused.
But I think that history shows us that if we want to change things, then we have to struggle. If we want to get rid of the sleeping ban, we're going to have to go out and reach every single person, every brother and sister in this community, to get them involved in the process. Because when there's hundreds of us who are standing up, the city council will see the necessity of doing away with the sleeping ban. But as long as they think that we're not going to really seriously struggle against this, they will keep arresting us, they'll keep putting us in cages, and there's a lot.
All right, now this is a song called Maybe Habe, and it's about Lieutenant Joe Habe of the Santa Cruz Police Force. And Lieutenant Joe Habe is responsible for seizing political literature on four separate occasions.
But isn't that against the law?
Isn't that right?
It's against the Constitution, but the mayor said he was just picking up trash. Picking up trash. That's what he was doing. Okay?
So they lied to us.
Lieutenant Habe seems to be either providing misinformation to a gullible mayor, or a mayor is covering for a criminal lieutenant. I'm not sure which it is.
How about both?
Could be both. Okay. Well, here's a song called... I need a drink of water, but I'll try it anyway. It's called Maybe Habe, and it goes like this. I wish I had some accompaniment. Maybe Habe we'll still dare. Maybe Habe we'll find those who care. Maybe Habe we'll make you be fair someday. Oh, you are the one who steals our signs, and you are the one with no legal lines. You come in the night with your garbage bag, turning civil rights into trash and slag. Maybe Habe we'll be strong. Maybe Habe you'll be gone. Maybe Habe won't be long one day.
And that was the famous Robert Norris singing in his hoarse voice off-key the new hit tune downtown, Maybe Habe. And you've been listening to the course of the March 16th demonstration, when the sleepout was in day 16. Well, it's now March 25th, and the sleepout is in its 25th day and going into its 25th night. And tomorrow, when the city council meets on the 26th, it will be 26 days and 26 nights in front of City Hall. Be there to help. Show up at 3 at Cathcart and Pacific. Show up at City Council at 3:30 and 7 to speak out in favor of the rights of homeless people. Bring your sleeping bag, your nightgown, your pajamas. Come to City Council dressed for the part tomorrow and let them see that there are bunches of people who are ready to go to sleep at night, even if this means a violation of the law. That doesn't mean you actually have to do it. You can make that choice when the time comes. But there is television at City Council, and television gets the message out to people throughout the community. That's what we need. So come to City Council tomorrow night. In the meantime, call Mayor Mike Rotkin, 429-3540, and tell him, one, make it legal for people to sleep in Santa Cruz, as Mayor Brown has stated it is legal in San Francisco. Two, that you want a record kept of your call. You want the City Council staff to start recording incoming calls and opinions. So this is supposed to be a democracy in Santa Cruz, and the more democratic, the better. And if people's calls are not recorded, then how can there be any pretense of any kind of representative democracy going on here? Fortunately, we don't have that. Rotkin claims, for instance, there's a lot of... he's been getting complaints about the drummers on the mall. Well, I'd like to see a record of exactly how many complaints he's gotten, from whom, on what days. Because I don't wish to call Mike a liar on this particular issue. I have no information that he is lying. But still, seeing the documentation would be helpful. I'd also like to bring to the attention of my audience that next Saturday we're going to be having a meeting at noon at the 201 Cedar Street Yard to talk about strategies around the sleeping ban in the long run. We're going to try to find ways to do what Santa Barbara did, which is break the back of the sleeping ban over the long run. They imported organizers and paid organizers from the Creative Community for Nonviolence in Washington, D.C. They got a national organizer, Mitch Snyder. They mobilized homeless people from dozens of cities, putting out the word, come to the Fig Tree, August 1st, 1986. Go to sleep, go to jail. They mobilized social service providers who were not timid in speaking about the right to sleep. We have social service providers who have spoken out against the sleeping ban, including Panda Bear Paul Brindell, including Sherry Connable, who I call a service provider because she's usually in the thick of that sort of thing, whether it's working for a campground or working for a voucher system in the parks. Karen Gillette has spoken of the need to allow people to sleep at night. These are people who, if they can mobilize around City Council and put their voices together with the actions of people on the streets, together with national publicity, could make a real difference. And that is something we're going to start talking about Saturday at noon at 201 Cedar Street in the Cedar Street Yard. Anyone who wants to come can. And again, more recently, we've got stuff happening. We've got tomorrow. We've got this long demonstration starting at 3 and lasting until we either get arrested or fall asleep or go home or who knows what, get carried off by the police or whatever happens at City Council. Starts at Cathcart and Pacific at Freedom Corner, our Friendship Corner, and then presses on from there at 3 o'clock. So I invite you to come to that. I invite you to join me on Bathrobe's Beer's Broadsides, which will be returning on Friday, assuming I'm in one piece. And I also invite you to support me in my case. I myself have been convicted of serving free food in San Francisco and face 2 months in jail, probably starting April 2nd. My options include a pardon from the governor, and I've been circulating petitions to that effect. It's actually more of a comic approach. Governor Wilson would like nothing better than to see Food Not Bombs in jail, I'm sure. Doesn't have any particular interest in pardoning me. But it is a way of getting the message out to the population generally. If you're interested in supporting me or in supporting the Sleep Out Vigil, give a call to 423-HUFF. Or if you want to be on the air, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And, of course, you can call the Sleep Out Vigil if you want to offer them some support, some dialogue. They're at 425-9679. We'll hear a little more, hopefully not of Maybe Habe, which I think is best left, shall we say, to those with less tired voices than mine, but that was a good song, and we'll be having some more songs in the future. But possibly, let's see what else we've got here.
Thousands of poor, poverty-stricken, homeless people!
That's right.
This is General Stewart speaking.
And I'm afraid that's a right that we're going to have to start restricting if human beings are not allowed their basic rights.
That's right.
That was done in the South to get rights for black people. That was done by women and by gay people. And we hope that those people who are now comfortable middle-class citizens will understand that that's why we're out here. It's not for our health. It's not that we want to get our pictures in the paper. It's because we want basic rights for homeless people, and we want them now! Now! That's why we're at City Hall for the 16th night. That's why we're going to sleep out every night at City Hall until this law is ended, the sleeping ban is overturned, until it's legal for homeless people to sleep somewhere, not everywhere, not anywhere, but somewhere in Santa Cruz.
Right.
Mayor So that's what we need, folks. That's why we're here. That's why we have to keep coming down again and again in order to bring this point home. Because for some reason the merchants think that it's good politics to get the homeless out of town. And that's how they can do it. That's why they can continue to do it. So I think there are lots of other places we could stop. But I'm losing my voice. And we lost some folks here. Joe's back.
A lot of folks here.
And we're gonna move now. We're gonna go to City Hall. Unless somebody has a better idea. I mean, I can think of plenty of other. What's your idea?
Let's go down to City Hall.
You heard it from the mouth of it. All right. Okay. So now we're going to City Hall.
What's that?
My number's at the bottom. Ask me that again, I'm sorry. The people are treating you bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're treating you bad. They're not respecting you, right?
Right.
And they, and you're sitting down on concrete. Why don't you go up in the National State Forest?
Well, in the National State Forest, first of all, you can't usually get in unless you pay a pretty large fee, and you have to have kind of often a credit card to be able to sleep overnight. And in most national forests, they don't let you sleep overnight.
Yeah, but you don't have... Well, if they're trying to get out here,
The idea is everybody should be allowed to... It's not that people want to sleep on the concrete. They don't like that idea.
Yeah.
But they want to find some legal places where they can be. But the city has said there's no legal place you can be except in a hotel.
Hmm.
And some people can't afford that.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
So you're going down here, downtown, and trying to change that, right?
Yeah, that's why we're out here in public. It's not really comfortable, but it's a way of letting people see what's going on.
Yeah.
So that's what that's all
Sounds
about.
Sounds cool.
What's your name?
Gabe.
Can I put this on Free Radio Santa Cruz, Gabe?
Sure.
All right. Thank you.
Cold radiant through your muscles.
Private Prefer, Scott Kennedy has joined us out of the side. Charlie Reed is here.
You're actually very vulnerable to being sick.
And people allow this kind of a law to stay intact when people are suffering and all kinds of things is happening because of the sleeping ban, you know, for health. And if people's lives are actually being put in jeopardy because they have no secure place to go near any kind of facilities, whether it's a nurse or anything like that. Where if they gave us a little piece of land, we could get organized, we could get someone in there to help us with our health issues and maybe try to get jobs and things like that. But no, they would rather be prejudiced and discriminatory against the homeless and leave this out like that. Like, what if a few of them die? So what? Let them go ahead and die. Let them die. The only strong ones will survive, you know? That's the kind of thoughts that must be going through these people's minds when they let something this basic go untaken care of, you know?
Man, the man who killed the campground is right over there.
Oh, no. I'd like to talk about
the other night we were at the ACLU meeting on hate crimes, and Robert and I got up and had something to say about the sleeping ban, and that the institutionalization of class hatred in these downtown ordinances and in the sleeping ban. Those are one of the points we made. Subsequently, Michael Rotkin, our mayor, got up and said something to the effect that, one, we were bullshitting. He opposed us with an argument that, A, Santa Cruz County per capita spends more money on homeless services than any other city in the nation. As if to say, you understand, that spending money on homeless services was equivalent to ending the sleeping ban in some way, or ameliorating the sleeping ban in some way, which is utterly fallacious. One doesn't follow from the other at all. On the other hand, having spent so much money per capita on homeless services and having failed utterly to ameliorate the homeless problem, the poverty, the destitution, the desperation and despair, should tell Michael Rothman that it's a failure to spend all that money on homeless services, where 90 or more cents on the dollar goes to service providers and not to the homeless people. That's one. Then he said something like, well, no other city in the United States allows people to sleep, you know, lets people sleep on the streets, you understand? And he had made the point about Willie Brown getting rid of the camping ban up in San Francisco, as if to say, simply because every other city in the nation has evil ordinances and follows an evil path, therefore our city mayor has a right to follow an evil path.
Kennedy is right over there.
I know he's over there. That's why I'm speaking loud enough. I hope he's hearing me. You understand? I want you to be armed against the arguments that they put forth. You understand? Those were two points that have nothing to do with ending the camping ban. Another point he made about ending the camping ban was this. Well, you can't just say we're going to end the camping ban because why? Well, we have to write a bunch of policy papers for the police to follow, as if to say the police can't simply stop harassing people who are homeless by telling them to stop. You have to write them a damn policy paper. That's such shit. That's such shit, you understand? Listen to this. These are Michael Rothkin's arguments against ending the camping ban. Three utterly fallacious reasons why they won't end the camping ban. The other one was that we were seeking special services, you understand? And they were already providing special services, plenty for the homeless people. And we're not, what special services is that? What service is it to allow somebody to sleep without being harassed by the police? Is that's in the category of special homeless services? That's amazing. That's the most amazing shit. You understand? He was supposedly answering Robert and I's argument to end the homeless, the camping ban. So here are four arguments that are full of shit. My take on it was that Michael Rothkin, when he answered us, he as well as might have stood up on the table, pulled his pants down and took a shit there in front of all of us, because all he did was lay a bunch of political crap at our feet. Hear, hear.
Hey, Robert. Yeah. Little girl wants
to go get some coffee and sodas and stuff.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. 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 Get all I can.
Robert. Yeah.
The little girl wants to
go. Go ahead.
We want to do everything. You don't want to be arrested.
All right.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, when I was in San Francisco under the Matrix program, you know, the police started bringing in large trash trucks, and they were escorting them in and taking people's blankets and survival equipment. And as a result of this, four people died that week, and it didn't even make the paper. And that is all attributed to hypothermia. Well, when I was up there serving some people up there, you know, they'd get in line and they'd leave their packs against the fence. And what happened? The cops started taking people's packs and put it in his, in his police car, locking it up. Yes. This is three nights ago. A couple nights ago, you know? I mean, this is senseless. More people are going to be dropping like flies now, because it's starting here now, is what I'm saying. They did it there. Now it's getting worse. People are dying and didn't even make the paper. Well, now it's starting here. And, you know, nobody's going to be doing anything about it except the people who are here right now, because nobody cares enough. But, you know, who can put a price on somebody else's life? You know, if they're willing to give you a ticket for $160-something and take your blankets, and what happens? A couple hours later, that person could be dead from hypothermia. It only takes as little as 10 minutes to die from that. And I guess that's the price that we must pay or something to try to get some sleep. That's pathetic. When they start taking away our rights to sleep, they might as well take away our rights to live, you know? Because if you don't have any sleep, you can't really live. You're delirious, and, you know, even when I was in the Marines, you know, they, according to the Geneva Convention, prisoners of war are treated better than we are. Because we couldn't take away any of their blankets or anything like that. In fact, we had to provide it. We had to provide everything that they needed to survive. But they're taking it from us here. And this is America. This is not a war zone. You know, we treated people who were out to kill us better than the cops are treating their own people. That's wrong. So I got to say.
All right. I started getting all agitated a few minutes ago when I saw Scott Kennedy sitting over there. He's a council member with the blue shirt on, talking to Sean. He's a council member who for years has said he supports ending the sleeping ban, but has done nothing to do it. Right. So it really doesn't make much sense for me to attack Scott Kennedy here, because it's real easy to expose the kinds of lack of action and false statements that have been made, and I've done this in a number of flyers. I've invited Kennedy to come on the radio and debate. He refuses. He won't come on the radio and debate. Instead, he uses his privileged position at city council to threaten to arrest me, which is what he did at the last city council meeting. That's what he did. So he's not really into fairness. He's not into open debate. And he sure as hell doesn't seem to be into even the most elementary public statements about the right to sleep for homeless people. Instead, for the last 6 months, he's been attacking activists. He was instrumental in closing down the campground, the only legal place for people to sleep in Santa Cruz. And yet he shows up at this demonstration. I want to point this out. Kennedy shows up at demonstrations like this. I'm not sure why. The media goes after him when he shows up. They kind of peek in on him. He maybe gets his liberal credentials polished up a little bit. This man is responsible almost single-handedly for passing the anti-homeless downtown ordinances, the laws that make it illegal for people to sit down or lie down downtown, the laws that make it illegal for people to ask for a dime after dark, the laws that make it illegal to put up a table against the sleeping ban after dark downtown. That's Scott Kennedy. He passed all those laws. He's a crucial vote. If he had said no, those laws would not have gone. But they did go. We have them on our books now because of Scott Kennedy. And I'm not saying this because I think the man should be lynched. I think he should resign from public office for that. Yes, he should resign from public office.
One of these days.
That's what I think.
Yeah, one of these days, Gandhi's true sayings are going to have an effect in his heart, and he's going to look in the mirror, and he's going to feel so bad because he, as of today, the way he works in the city council is Gandhi's worst nightmare. He is taken Gandhi's principles and opportunistically, expediently used them for political power. There he is.
Scott Kennedy actually is the co-founder of the Resource Center for Nonviolence. It is a local liberal group that has not supported the right of people to sleep.
Really?
It has not supported the right of people to ask for spare change if they have to. It has not supported the right of homeless people to not be criminals if they are in town and the merchants still don't like them. It's not worth focusing a lot of attention on one person like this, except to educate you and tell you what's going on with this man. It's a sad thing. And he may seem to be a very brave guy by coming into a group like this, but he's not, because we are nonviolent here. Maybe he should go talk to the friends of some of the people who died because he closed the campground. Now, maybe they wouldn't feel so friendly towards him, but I don't see him going out there and talking to those people. That's one thing.
He should go live homeless for 2 months to prove his non-Gandhi and non-violent principles actually work in the homeless world. He should go to a city where he's unknown, nobody knows him, and he should live homeless for 2 months and then come back and tell us about his life.
The real question is, what should we do? Do not be distracted by this kind of political bullshit.
Sorry.
I mean, it's all right. No, no. I mean, and I'm going to let myself be distracted for one more moment. This man Kennedy walked by the vigil 3 nights ago, and you know what he said? He turned around and he sneered at the vigilers, and he said, "Not many people here, are there?" and he walked on.
Oh, and are your numbers growing?
Are your numbers growing? He asked with a sneer. But now he's here because the media is here, and he wants you to understand he's just a good guy. He really is trying to understand all points of view. You know, I don't want to seem malicious, but I've been dealing with this guy and his city council for 8 years. 8 years, too many. The only people we can really appeal to, I am an irritable guy, and irritating as well. Yes. Downtown, people, human beings who live in Santa Cruz are the people who are going to make clowns like Kennedy, mayors like Rotkin, mice like Catherine Byers do something. It's their voices that will make them do something, and that's why we have to turn to them. Explain the issue to them and get them to join us. Don't pay attention to him.
I think the thing that really shows how stupid this law is that tourist that we met downtown. This is someone who came to Santa Cruz because it's such a nice place to live and it's such a nice place to be that they wanted to come here and visit, right? And then they get here and what do they find? They're sleeping in their van and they get woken up by Santa Cruz's finest. This is the welcome mat we're putting out. Don't sleep outside or you'll get a $162 ticket. Don't sleep in your vehicle when you come here or you'll get a ticket. This is our welcome mat. This is not opening our heart as a community. This is not what's going to attract people here. This is going to turn Santa Cruz into a new Orange County. People are not going to come here. They're going to realize a bunch of fascists are in control here. A bunch of people who pay lip service to Gandhi and nonviolence, but who in reality enforce laws that deprive people of basic necessity of sleep. And it seems at times like this, what would be nice is another real big earthquake. Then we'll have a lot of people out here homeless, and then they'll start listening to the needs of the homeless. Maybe.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello? That's it.
He's here.
Okay, let's hear it.
Scott Kennedy is here because the media is here. And he knows that the media always wants to give a, quote, balanced report, unquote, so that sooner or later they'll come over to him and get his view on our work here. He knows that. That's why he's here. No other reason.
He wants the last word.
This is the part for tourism.
I'm here with Becky Johnson. We've been discussing lack of homeless coverage on community television. I've actually been invited to be a guest of Charlie Reed's, her former boss, who unceremoniously fired her after firing certain other employees on both ends of the political spectrum.
I left voluntarily.
No, you left voluntarily, but you were, given a hard time.
I was de-hosted.
You were de-hosted. Well, Charlie showed up here, and then Scott Kennedy showed up here. It looks like we were getting all the, I don't know what you want to say. I realize the way to deal with Kennedy is to ask him substantive questions about his future behavior in terms of making commitments, such as, will you open the restrooms here at the City Hall, for example, for tonight's sleepout? Will you introduce an emergency resolution to end the sleeping ban? Will you make a public statement that you think Santa Cruz should immediately do what San Francisco has done and lead a phone-in campaign to other council members to change their opinions on this issue? Will you join the sleepout tonight? That Becky Johnson.
Oh, well, I thought it was rather amusing that Scott Kennedy came and said, oh, I'm against the camping ban, and stated that to the people here when he...
The front page of the Sentinel said that, and I've always been against the camping ban ever since I came on to City Council.
Well, if that's true, then how come he keeps voting for it every time? It's been a unanimous vote
and
actually, in effect, it's not so much that it's been a unanimous vote. It hasn't even come up on the agenda. He has not attempted to bring it up. And the only time that it's ever, a lying ban came up, a ban against lying down downtown during the day, and he voted for that.
How you doing? My name is Bob LaMonica. The district attorney...